Let's read the verses we covered for the first session. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. The topic is spiritual gifts. The Bible has a lot to say about the giving of a spiritual gift to each believer at the point of salvation. It's part of the salvation package. I got the gift of pastor-teacher. It took me a while to realize it, but I figured it out eventually. And then I studied the Scripture and found out what my responsibility is to believers that come here of their own free will. My responsibility is to teach and communicate. Can't do it all at once, but to teach the whole counsel of God. So we are committed to the study of Peter's letter that he wrote to Christians that were living in northern Turkey. Wasn't called that then. It was Roman provinces where these Christians were scattered and had been evangelized, and he gives them guidance through these two letters, 1 and 2 Peter. Now, on this particular subject that we're going to wrap up today, it's the topic with spiritual gifts. As each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, verse 10. So the gifts are to be used to the benefit of other believers, other people. And you can't do that if you don't know anything, if you don't have divine viewpoint in your soul, the do's and the don'ts in terms of application towards others, starting with believers and even strangers if an occasion should present itself. So, here's the thing. Spiritual gifts are to function within a team effort. The team is called the local church, the classroom of Christianity. You can't be out here flopping around like a fish out of water and not be a part of a viable local church that is dead serious about the Word of God and doesn't just give lip service to it. It teaches it. That was my beef back when I was young. They're not teaching the Bible. Oh, they give verses, but I could sit there and be as old as Methuselah and never get through an entire book. And it isn't my responsibility to go home and read it. It's the responsibility of the pastor-teacher to study, put it together, and communicate it like you have in front of you this today with these notes. And he does it under authority. Jesus taught with authority. Just like you have a boss that's an authority. You have people in the civil realm. They're authorities. The traffic cop on the corner, he's an authority. You can defy him, but you shouldn't. So the principle is doctrine is to be communicated authority. That's what the people who saw Jesus said. He's not like the other religious leaders. He teaches as one having authority. Okay, so that's my gift. That's a function of my gift. My gift is pastor teacher. To study, teach, and to be here and to declare to you over time, if we could, everything that God has revealed is worthwhile. And so we'll document everything for you. All Scripture is profitable. And we are to grow in grace and knowledge. You know what that means? That means we start off as believers, like in the human realm, as infants. And then we grow up. Now, if we don't have a good environment, which many kids don't today, pathetic, the environment they're raised up in. But if they are, then they're going to be, hopefully, good human beings. So in the local church, we are to grow from our salvation state to maturity, spiritual maturity. And that's incremental. Intake and application of the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't do you any good if you don't apply it. But you can't apply what you don't know. It's impossible. If you don't know how to fix a particular dish, meal, then it's not you're wasting your time. You have to be trained. You have to get with it. So in this regard, on the team effort, everybody here, it's a believer, has at least one spiritual gift. There's a list of spiritual gifts. This is on top of whatever natural characteristics you might have. It's a spiritual gift. It's a dynamic that is the result of you and I being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When we're in fellowship and we apply doctrine, then we have occasions in which we can exercise our spiritual gift. Like, for instance, the gift of helps, where you help others. The gift of mercy. The gift of exhortation. And so forth. And here he breaks them down in verse 10 into two broad categories. Communication gifts. Communication. Now, any of us can witness, if we know what we're talking about. We can explain a doctrine if we've been taught it right. If not, we're just, like I said, we're just, you know, doing no good at all. Harm, if anything. If you don't know a topic and someone asks you about it, just say, hey, I'll try to find out the information. I don't know the answer to that. Is that not how you operate in the human realm? You don't pretend to know an answer. Because you're dealing with a serious matter here. God's evaluation and dealing with all of us is going to be based on what we did with His Word in the lifetime that He gave us on this earth. And that's quickly coming to an end. But for most people, they're in la-la land. And they're about to hit the brick wall. It's too bad. Not happy for that. But that's their choice is to run amok out here in the cosmos without any true spiritual guidance. The believer, the person that is the real genuine seeker, who is teachable, who is intellectually honest, who isn't going to follow family and friends if they're in the wrong, they're going to line up with the truth. That separates true positive volition from the others. So, as each one has received a gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to be good stewards of our spiritual gift. How can that be? You've got to be being taught and growing spiritually in a local church. And a lot of them don't even know what to do when you sin. They don't have a clue. They can't tell you. We can, real quick. Whoever speaks, now these are the two broad categories of gifts, communication gifts. Whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. What are the utterances of God? Not, oh, God said something to me. No, He didn't. You base it on the Scripture, chapter and verse, doctrine by doctrine. What you and I believe about fill in the blank. And if you haven't ever heard it, then you can't communicate it. So under your spiritual gift, there's communication gifts. As I said, mine's the hyphenated gift. Pastor, teacher. I oversee my congregation and I communicate to them 4 times a week, usually. Unless we have a cancellation like we did last time. Due to the extreme weather. Anyway, prayed for some rain and got some good rain. I did. I said, I want some rain. I want good rain. I don't want 80-mile-an-hour winds and tornadoes and hail and all the rest of it. I just want some good rain. So the other night, we got about 2 to 3 inches in 45 minutes. And it was a nice rain too. It wasn't blowing stuff around. And I paused and said, "Thank you for bringing me rain." You can pray for that, you know. You don't have because you don't ask. Whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. So, I'm a good example because I'm before you on a regular basis. You come here of your own free will. I never twisted your arm. Never. I didn't run you down. If you don't show up next time, I'm not going to run out and say, where were you? I mean, if you want to tell me, that's fine. It's your Christian life. If you want to live for this life alone, I read about these people. I read about all these celebrities of the past, old Hollywood, all these big names. You know what it is? If they don't die young from overdosing, their lifestyles are unbelievable. Money and fame, what's it do for a lot of them? Get them in all kinds of hell, all kinds of trouble. One divorce, one affair after another, financial ruin or health ruin or you name it. It's not pretty. Oh, you see them on a big screen. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yesterday's rock star is nothing today. If he's still alive, all glory is fading, except the glory that comes from doing the will of God, because I'm looking forward to getting out of here and getting a resurrection body just like Jesus Christ. I'm promised that in the Bible. I'm going to get a resurrection body that matches what Jesus Christ has. It's bulletproof. Anybody teach you that? And I don't care where your body is, in the grave or wherever it is, you're going to be taken up out of here. And it's going to happen real soon because of where we're at in human history. And all this stuff that's happening in the United States, fires, tornadoes, floods, broken dams, hurricanes, that's just earthquakes. It's all a sign that the human, and it isn't just in this country, it's worldwide. People are getting hit. It's supposed to be a wake-up call. And then when we're all jerked out of here, right in front of all the unbelievers, then they can explain that one. And then all that we studied in the book of Revelation regarding what comes after that. But we will be with the Lord in heaven during the 7-year tribulation, and we're going to come back with Him because we're the bride of Christ, and He goes with His bride. And we're going to watch Him defeat the armies at Armageddon while we hover above the earth. So don't get your hopes on America getting its act together if we can just get Trump in there. No, this country's going down. It's in prophecy. This country's going to be taken out in 1 hour of one day by Russia. I can document this. If I was new and sitting out there, I'd say, give me the doctrine. I don't expect you to accept anything I say without the documentation. Document it. Well, take some time. This isn't a superficial subject. It isn't how to cook hard-boiled eggs. There's a right way to do that, too, I understand. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. And whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies. That's an interesting one. The first one, you have a communication gift, pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever. They're to reflect what God's has already revealed through the writers of the 66 books of the Bible. This is God's word, written and preserved through time. So we have the completed canon of Scripture. And the capstone's a good one, isn't it? The book of Revelation. And people screw that one up right and left. Or they just ignore it. So, stick to with the spiritual gift of communication, you stick with the topic at hand. If it's witnessing the way of salvation, then just be sure you've got it straight and you don't muddy the waters. And then they who serves, serve God by the strength which God supplies. This is on top of your natural, native, physical strength and mental. You got the Holy Spirit. And you can rise to an occasion and be better than you thought. God gives you strength for that. You've heard people say, God gave me strength and I got through it and I got that done. So in all things, what's the upshot? God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom, referring to Christ, belongs the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen. And we were on into that summary. That's what I used to call them. They're analysis points now. We're on point 41. We deal with glorified. God is glorified when? See, every moment of my life, I don't do that, but I have the potential, and with doctrine, to glorify God. I can glorify God in my sufferings. I can glorify God in my blessings. I glorified God and I got that rain I prayed for the other night. Did you ever get something, get it done? Say, thank you, Father. Real quick. Because you're giving him the credit. You're not taking the credit. Even though you did it. That's glorifying God. So we know that we stopped with point 40 on page 20. Self-glorification is not lasting. All the famous people and the rich people and all these people and the small people and all of them in between, where are they at now? They're in the afterlife. They're in heaven or they're in hell. Imagine, you spent your whole life accumulating money. There's a couple of them they like to put out all the time. Oh, so-and-so's made another billion. And he's 89 years old. Wonderful. Another billion. They find people buried from ancient world, and their tomb is filled with gold and silver and precious stones. A lot of good it's going to do them. How stupid are people? You're going to get buried with your cat? They do. They kill their pets and get buried with them. These are smart people, supposedly. They ruled over nations. And had wealth and power. But I like a man who had a lot of money. He was attractive. All of it. His name's Solomon. You know what he says about it all? All this out here? Next time you see a big gathering of people, some concert, some ball game, and all those people that went out into that heat to worship Allah. Hundreds of them died in the heat. I saw pictures of them. They looked like they were packed in there like sardines with umbrellas, and it was 125 degrees out. Give me a break. Yeah, I used to kid about it. So I said, see those elderly? That's when I wasn't elderly. I said, see those elderly people? Crawling up in the stands so they can scream for OU. And it's hotter than hell out here. And they wouldn't darken a door of a local church on a regular basis. No way. And we got air conditioning. Right? And I see them. I see them in these concerts. They're all just packed in. They're all screaming. Okay, so the person up there's talented. So what? I'm like Solomon. I go with his. It sounds bleak, but it's the truth. All is vanity and chasing after the wind. Do you ever go try to chase down the wind? Of course not. And so how do they end up? They like to put these online. The life and times of Marilyn Monroe. Oh, she's gorgeous. Ooh. Or they'll name another one and he'll say, the tragic life and ups and downs of so-and-so. And all the stupid decisions they make. They did one on Johnny Cash. Whoever. Some of them from kings and queens back in, you know, centuries past. Where are they now? And all you got to do is one thing to go to heaven, and that's to believe in Jesus Christ. Your attitude towards Jesus Christ in a moment in time will determine your eternal destiny. And it's a gift. Salvation is given when a person says, I believe, for the first time. And you can't lose it. You can't screw it up. Like some churches, oh, if you commit that sin, you'll lose it. No, you can't lose it. Nothing can separate you from God. You can lose your rewards package, but you're going to get a resurrection body. The worst believers that ever lived, they're going to get a resurrection body. I can name some of them from the Bible that ended up under the sin unto death. That doesn't mean they went to hell. That means they did not, in their death, glorify God by being positive and in fellowship and all that. Okay, self-glorification is not lasting. All glory fades. Some people understand it, but they don't act on it. Oh, you got all those good looks. You're at the peak of your career. You are super attractive, but guess what? If you get to 75 or 80, you're not going to look like that. No way. Did you ever see the before and after pictures? That's her? Whoa. It's the aging gene. Thanks to Adam and Eve, we got one. It's in our DNA. We got an aging gene and we got a sin nature gene. Because there was something in that fruit that changed them physiologically. And they passed it on to all the rest of us. So no, I don't envy any of those people out there. Let them have whatever it is they want. Show off their stuff, whatever they got. Phenomenal car collection. Whatever. And all they have to do is believe in Christ to go to heaven. Most of them don't. I'm just basing this on Scripture. The way that leads to destruction is broad. It isn't because God doesn't want them to get saved. It's that He leaves it up to people. He doesn't drag anybody into His plan. You choose or you choose not to. Okay. We're talking about glorifying God. And ways to glorify God. All different kinds of ways. All of God's works bring glory to Him. That's what I got here. Psalm 19. And that is basically... Here's something for you. God bears witness to His person 24/7 to everybody. It's inaudible. It's not verbal. It's the creation. How'd it get here? All this you see out there. All living things. All the phenomenal diversity and sophistication. And the animal and plant and human kingdoms. That people can observe up close. They're finding new species of things deep in the ocean. So deep you can't. They have to have a special probe to go down there. A jellyfish that you can see through it, way down in these depths that you couldn't get anybody down there with submarine. So deep. They're finding new stuff. And some of it is so pretty. So lights up. And all that depth of water. And all the characteristics of it. I see it online. New things they've come across. God put all this diversity on the earth. He's the creator. This psalm says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech that's audible. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. What? A tent for the sun. That's a covering, last time I checked. That's the firmament, the dome, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Now, if a bridegroom is analogous to he's all lit up because he's with the love of his life. They had their wedding night. He comes out and he's a young guy and he's full of energy and he's been with her and this is great. As a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and then he uses another alley. It rejoices as a strong man to run his race course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, the sun, and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The sun moving around in its designated path. Now, what this is a universal witness to everybody of the existence of a supreme being. You go back all the way through history, people understood the concept of an all-powerful creator. And they didn't have to read it in books. All they had to do was look around them. Look up, look around, and answer the question, how did this get here? And you know what they teach in school today? Of course you do. It did it by itself. Nothing created everything. Nothing created everything? Well, there was an explosion. An explosion created everything? That's standard science theory in schools today. The Big Bang theory by some genius with a twisted brain. What happens with these people is they become aware of the existence of a supreme creator. Somebody who can bring into existence that which does not exist. We can't do that. We can put things together. Well, look at his creation. Isn't that neat? We know what we mean by that. He put these different things together, and here's the product. That's the universal witness of God to his existence, to the entire human race. I don't care how advanced or primitive the civilization is. The concept is there because of observation. But what happens with most people is they don't desire to know him. They are negative at God awareness. Why we call it God consciousness. The awareness of the concept of a supreme being. And those who are positive at God consciousness, and only he knows, they'll eventually get a gospel hearing so they can get saved. Believing there is a God doesn't save you. The fallen angels believe there is a God. Anyway, then the last part of this psalm is the written word of God, where God bears witness to his person and his plan. Can you explain the essence of God to anybody? What is God? I'll tell you in a nutshell. He's invisible. He's immaterial, but he's real. And he exists in three persons. And he has attributes. He has sovereignty. He does as he pleases. And he doesn't ask our permission. He's always existed and always will. Eternal life, that's an attribute. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's absolute righteousness. He has his own code. He's fair, justice. He's love. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He's all-powerful, omnipotence, the three O's. And he's omniscient. There isn't anything he doesn't know. He doesn't learn anything. Figure out something like we have to. That's our essence. That's our essence. The essence of God. Oh, I left out veracity. He only deals with the truth. But he determines what the truth is. And he doesn't change it with the times. If something's wrong 1,000 years ago, it's wrong today. No matter what humans say. And they will be judged according to their relationship to him. He exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son is unique in that God, the Son, matched up with a finite human being at the birth of Jesus. He's the God-man. The hypostatic union. It's in your Bible. All God's works bring glory to him. While God is to be glorified in all things, point 42, he is not due to failure to apply. I don't always glorify God. That's why I've got rebound and get back in fellowship and do it right. 43, the subjunctive mood recognizes human volition. But there is application, but where there is application with respect to the all things, God is glorified. 45, application under one's gift is no small matter. 46, reward and prestige await those who take Bible doctrine seriously. You want to discount the Word of God? Then you're going to be on the short end of the stick when the award ceremony comes. If that's fine with you, okay. You got better things to do, I'm sure. You don't. You just think you do. The phrase through Jesus Christ recognizes his mediatorship that is based on his sacrifice. 48, apart from him, there would be no ground for men to bring eternal glory to God and themselves. 49, all of the grace and truth necessary for men to attain to eternal blessing comes through the Savior. He's the way to God and to our blessed future, which includes living and reigning with him forever on this earth, on earth too, in the New Jerusalem, in a resurrection body where there's no pain, no death, and no aging. When the rapture occurs, as I've said before over and over again, I don't care how old a person is, we will all be 35 years old. An 8-year-old and a 90-year-old. So you're going to get your youth back if you lost it. And then some. No, I don't make this up. This is in the Word of God. Now, if you want to throw the Word, walk away from it, that's on your head. So apart from him, there would be no ground for men to bring eternal glory to God and themselves. All of the grace and truth necessary for men to attain eternal blessings comes to the Savior. 50. Jesus Christ has provided us with access to God the Father. It's through Christ we have access to God and we enter the plan, and from that moment we believed in Christ, we are a child of God forever. Maybe an obedient one, maybe a disobedient. Most Christians aren't going to do well at the judgment seat of Christ. They just are not. It's going to be a bad moment, but they'll get over it. We'll go on. Jesus Christ is to provide us with access to the Father. So the words through Jesus Christ points to the one who makes our glorification of God possible. The words to whom refer to God. 53. To God belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever because God has provided us with Jesus Christ who has cleared the path so we might live and reign with God forever. He took my sins on himself while he was on in the 3 hours of darkness. So all I had to do was believe and all my past sins were forgiven. And all the sins since then, once I learned rebound, I get those forgiven too. That's pretty cool. All you got to do is name it. Not to me. Not to some priest. All you got to do is say, Father, I'm worrying. I'm out of fellowship. I'm worrying. I confess it. There's plenty to worry about today if you listen to all the scare stuff out there. COVID's coming back. Fear does not glorify God. fear of God does, but worrying about stuff doesn't. We're told not to fear. So I have those verses in front of me. I can stop it, confess, and go on. Some interpret to say to whom refers to Christ, but see Jude 1:25, Romans 6:27, 1 Peter 4:11, which is an abbreviated form of this one and clearly refers to God. There is no verb belong, but is implied, where it occurs, and Jude 25, where it is implied. 56, the indicative of the verb implied or stayed is consistent with the conviction that God's glory and dominion are his by right. The word translated dominion means might or sovereignty. The words glory and might occur here and in Revelation 1:6 and 5:13. This exact combination and its occurrence in the book of Revelation is very suitable to the theme of 1 Peter. It emphasizes the irresistible might which ensures God's triumph over every evil force and setting up his kingdom on earth, of which we're privileged to be able to be there and be a part of it. The amen is standard after doxologies in the Old Testament. A doxology is a statement of praise to God. Amen, basically, when you say amen, you say, I believe that. That's what it expanded mean means. I believe that. Amen. I agree. I concur. It is a liturgical term signifying devout assent. So be it. Or, I believe it. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.